Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered would soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked to where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, then you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the
Welcome to worship at Trinity Lutheran Church. I know what you're thinking. I'm not wearing a sweater vest. I can't be Pastor Jim. Well, I am grateful for the opportunity to be a part of worship with you this day, as our pastor deserves a well-rewarded rest away right now. My name is Tom Kidd. I'm a retired minister in this congregation, and I periodically am afforded the opportunity to lead worship. Ironically, the last time we gathered as a congregation in this space, last year, on March 8th, I also was presiding in worship. We're going to hope the omen is better this time. At any rate, I invite you to enter into this worship with your hearts and your spirits ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, as again we are reminded of God's love for us. We gather here this morning in the name of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Darkness, longing for truth, we turn to you. Make us your own, your holy people, light for the world to see. Christ, be our light, shine in our hearts, shine through the dark. Our world is troubled, longing for hope, many despair. Your word alone has power to save us, make us your living voice. many still thirst. Make us your bread, broken for others, shared until all are fed. Christ, be our light, shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light, shine in your church, gathered today. Longing for shelter, many are sheltering others, walls made of living stone. Many the gifts, many the people, many the hearts that yearn to belong. Let us be servants to one another, signs of your kingdom come.
Good and gracious God, you have blessed us with light entering into our world and into our lives. We ask and pray for your tender mercy to be upon all people in this moment who are suffering in darkness. We pray, holy and gracious God, that you would reach through their darkness and fill them with a hope and a sense of encouragement and strength for the days that are ahead. I ask, holy and gracious God, that we will find joy in this moment of being with you, that we will find purpose and meaning in the living of our lives. We ask for your light this day and each day as we move into this new year. We ask this in the precious name of Christ our Lord, and the people of God say, Amen. Mark George is going to be reading to us our first lesson from Isaiah. Mark?
The lesson is from the 52nd chapter of Isaiah. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy, for in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Mark, so much for the reading of Scripture this day. It is on this celebration of Epiphany that we share in the special music by Carl, The Work of Christmas.
When the song of the angels is still, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To feed the hungry,
2021. Thank you, Jesus. 2020 is in the rearview mirror. This last year for many was like a bad gift that just kept on giving. For the record, my survey is 100% consistent in that not one person that I've had conversation with laments the passing of 2020. It is sometimes said that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, which in the light of this pandemic and the gross death toll that it has reaped, I think this is a pretty hollow platitude. Because for many, what has not killed them has crushed them, has left them wounded, has left them sorely wanting something to be restored. So I don't know if we are stronger or we are just too emotionally or physically or spiritually tired to care. But I think we could all benefit from having our spirits renewed, our spirits lifted. Where we feel empty, we need to be restored. I mean, Jesus restored the woman at the well. He restored the woman who was caught in adultery. He restored the man with the withered hand, the 10 lepers, the demonic at Gerasenes. He restored Peter after he had denied him 3 times. And he restored Paul after he had been persecuting the early church. So after a crushing year, we all need to be spiritually restored. Maybe 2021 could be a year of restoration. For the record, a New Year's resolution is a world apart from a New Year's restoration. My father once told me, a man who was given over to fits of honesty, that he had lost 245 pounds, a pretty impressive number, until he said, but he had gained 315. So New Year's resolutions, I believe, are by definition a little puny compared to what the gospel calls us to. A spiritual restoration is something that can literally change the course of history for eternity. A spiritual restoration literally reaches into the future. With that in mind, I have a reading for this day. It is from Philemon, verses 8 to 16. And I think you know how this works. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. Reading from Philemon, beginning in the 8th verse. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you will do spontaneous and not forced. Because the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, and even dearer to you, both as a man and a brother in the Lord. Here ends the reading. Compared to Paul's theological great treatise in his letter to the church in Rome, his letter to Philemon is barely a postcard, 25 verses in total, comprising, though, yet the most personal and maybe intimate insight into the life that Paul calls us to. Philemon is an intimate inquiry into the relationship of three men of faith: Paul, the mentor, Philemon, the disciple, and now the criminal behavior of one Onesimus, a runaway slave of Philemon, who has been affording them the opportunity of a deeper life and witness that can be made in the name of Christ Jesus. So here's a brief refresher of the details. Philemon is a resident of Colossae, and he was led to Christ by Paul earlier in his missionary trips. Paul is under house arrest in Rome and speaks of himself as a prisoner. He sends Onesimus back to his owner with this letter that he's carrying. Onesimus is the runaway slave of Philemon, and it was also led to Christ by Paul in Rome. Undoubtedly, he knew of Paul at least from his earlier trip to Colossae and the role he played in leading his owner to Christ. Now, slaves were common in the Roman world. In fact, they outnumbered Roman citizens. Philemon could well have had, imagine this, 10 to 20,000 slaves. A runaway slave could legally be put to death. So consider that. Why would Onesimus even consider returning to a man who could summarily execute him? Lastly, for the record, Paul does not debate the morality of slavery. But as we hear, he redefines what the relationship between slave and owner could be. So Paul appeals to Philemon to think of his relationship with Onesimus very differently. In doing so, both slave and owner are invited to enter into a new freedom that will alter this, the course of history for eternity. And not just for them. It's fascinating, isn't it? Here is Philemon, 25 verses, a bit of a postcard of a mailing. And we have the clearest window of maybe all of Paul's writings into what the kingdom of God, which is coming, is to look like. Christian McAuliffe, you probably remember her. She was the school teacher who lost her life in the Challenger explosion. She had a motto: I touch the future, I teach. I guess that would be true whether it was a good or a bad teacher. Whenever we give people hope for tomorrow, we have refreshed their spirit. We have altered the future. A new tomorrow is possible with hope. Paul writes of the separation of these two men of faith as an opportunity for God's grace to alter the course of history. It is where the inbreaking of God is and can appear. Why would Onesimus even consider returning to his master if he did not believe this was true? So Paul wrote, again, these couple verses I read, perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. I cannot overstate what a radical invitation this is for restoration. It is an intimate invitation to a brother, Philemon, to let go of the past and to enter into a new hope, a new life. In one of Paul's previous letters to the church at Galatia, in the third chapter, he again outlines the parameters of what this coming kingdom of God is to look like. They're great words. He says, you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. You are all heirs according to the promise. In the language of Christian McAuliffe, Paul invites Philemon to reach into the future with Onesimus, to touch, as Jesus has defined our relationships with God, to touch what a new relationship with one another is to look like for the coming kingdom of God, as they are mutual heirs. Imagine saying that to a man who is possibly the owner of 10,000 slaves. This is a brother who is a mutual heir of the kingdom with you. It's pretty radical stuff, this spirit restoration. As much as we are all glad to see 2020 pass, really, what's going to make 2021 any different? I mean, we're told in terms of the pandemic, we have yet a very dark winter ahead of us. Tens of thousands of our fellow brothers and sisters, American citizens of this country, are going to succumb to the pandemic, to the COVID-19. We're told to have hope. The vaccine is on the way. I have hope that someday soon, as our pastor is wont to say, we will gather again in one place in worship. We will gather in this holy space together as brothers and sisters celebrating the life that we've been called to live in Christ Jesus. And I think whoever plans that service that day will have to have an extended passing of the peace time. Because people aren't going to be so content with simply fist bumps. There's going to be a few hugs and some tears shed. And probably, I'm going to suggest to Carl that he might want to plan for some traveling music for people as they move about the sanctuary. In the interim, though we are blessed with a Philemon and Onesimus moment. Who does not need a friend? Who does not need a second chance? A new future? Who does not need their spirit restored? When Thomas Edison was improving his first light bulb, to the astonishment of onlookers, he handed the finished bulb to a young helper who nervously carried it up the flight of stairs, step by step, to where the vacuum machine was that would make this bulb functional. As one would predict, at the last step, he stumbled, dropped the bulb into 1,000 pieces. The crew went back to work. It took a full 24 hours later for a second product to be produced. What did Edison do? He gave that bulb to that same young man with the task of transporting their future up the stairs. I think Edison knew that there was far more here at stake than a light bulb. Who of us in our life has not needed such a moment, such as that moment that has changed the course of our future for eternity, such a moment where someone has reached verily into our very future? Forgive me if some of you have heard me tell this story, but my favorite seminary professor was a Dominican priest, Father Sam Parsons. However unintentional it was, I clearly remember that day where in class I had questioned his authority. What made it worse is I did it in front of his Dominican students. It was clearly, I was the only one not wearing a white alb, so it was clear that I was the outsider, and I had challenged his authority, and immediately I knew what I had done, and immediately I wanted to die, I wanted to fall into a hole, I wanted to escape that moment. So ashamed was I that I chased him down the hallway at the break. And this man who stood literally this tall to me, I stood before him, I said, "Father Parsons, please, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." And he stopped me. And he reached up and he patted the side of my unshaven face. And he says, "Oh, Tom, leave the small things small." You see, that day, Father Parsons not just touched my face, he touched my future. He touched my future, restoring my spirit and giving me hope for tomorrow that I could show up in class again. By being the hands, the feet, the voice of Jesus, that's exactly what we're called to do, the same thing. How do you think Philemon handled that moment? What do you think Philemon's response was when he watched his runaway slave walk back into his world and hand him this letter from Paul? Onesimus again walked back into his master's world knowing that the possibility would be that he would die. But he carried this epistle, this letter, this postcard from Paul. You know, a postscript would have been grand, wouldn't it? What happened? I want to know what happened. Well, we're not totally devoid of information. It was some years later that an early church father named Ignatius wrote a letter to the head of the church at Ephesus. He wrote this letter to the head of the church at Ephesus to a man, a beloved bishop and pastor, who was named Onesimus. Ignatius, using the exact same words found in verse 11 that I read to you of Philemon, the letter to Philemon, he refers to this pastor as the one, quote, "who formerly was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me," end quote. Maybe not so strangely, the possibility of that actually fills my heart with hope. The Spirit of Christ in us, shared with those in need, changes the course of history as we reach into their future for eternity. The gospel lesson, typically appointed for this Sunday, celebrated as Epiphany, which is the high festival for the Eastern Church, in fact, ranks higher than Christmas. The lesson typically read is the Magi and the bringing of their gifts who followed the star in the east to Bethlehem and the baby Jesus. I would like to suggest to you this day, this first Sunday of a new year, as we consider what new hopes and possibilities could look like, I would like to suggest to you this day that the gifts that they bore, though magnificent and pregnant with meaning, are no less valuable than the gift you will make by restoring someone's spirit and touching their future. May God bless our 2021 and those we love in our Lord's name. And may God bless the memory of those who will yet die due to the pandemic this year. So I would remind you of Matthew's words. As Carl, as we transition to Carl, sings the story of the star. These were magi from the east, asking, "Where is the one who has been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east." And the star went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And they were overjoyed. And they bowed down. And they worshiped him, and they opened their treasures.
When a star is shining over eastern hills, when the air is silent and the clamor stills, when the night is waiting and the old hopes rise, then the time has ripened and the heart grows wise. Lead us on, lead us on to a morning where the promise shines. Lead us on, lead us on to a morning where the promise. Christ, prepare the way, where an earthly power makes the heart turn cold. There the gifts are offered, incense, myrrh, and gold. Lead us on, lead us on to a morning where the promise shines. Lead us on, lead us on to a morning where the promise shines. Lead us on, O day star, in the quiet night. Guide us through the shadow with your gentle light. Show us in a manger our redemption sign. Bring us to a morning where the promise shines. Lead us on, lead us on to a morning where the promise shines. Lead us on, lead us on to a morning where the promise shines.
Thank you, Carl, for that gift of music. We gather together now as the people of God in prayer, thankful for the opportunity that wherever we are, we can be joined as one community of faith. The prayers of the church will be read by Zoe. She will end each petition with, "Hear us, O God," and our response is, "Your mercy is great."
Standing in the light of Christ, we pray for the church, the world, and all according to their needs. O God, we give thanks for the birth of your Son, Jesus. Let us share the new life and renewed hope of this birth wherever we go. We know that the birth of Jesus does not remove injustice from the world, but let the brightness of the birth shine within us so that we may be bearers of your truth and justice in all situations. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. O God, as we turn from a troubled year, let us move into the light as we use our gifts and talents in the service of your people, all peoples of the earth. Whether close to home or in far-off lands, give us the wisdom to use our money, talents, and time to lift the fallen, unburden the weary, and heal the sick. Give swift and sure hands and hearts to those tasked with distributing and administering the COVID vaccine, that we all may gradually return to the joy of the Gabber community once again. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. You come to us in the beauty of darkness and of light. Bring justice and reconciliation to communities divided by oppression and misuse of power. Guide us to speak holy words of advocacy and truth as we seek to eliminate racism, reduce economic injustice and inequity, and increase tolerance. Expand the imaginations of those in positions of authority that they may find healing solutions for the problems of their communities and nations. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. O God, you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Fill us with joyful hope in this new year and guide us to have courage amid all the changes and chances of life. Let us wear the clothes of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, and live in your love, which binds all things together for good. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Hear the hopes and prayers of our hearts, O God, and magnify our joy at the birth of your light among us. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always. I invite you to turn to your family, to guests who are gathered with you, to those who are far away and by phone call or whatever, to call and extend to them the passing of our Lord's peace to them.
Peace be with you.
And peace be with you.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
Thank you for that. I invite now Amy. Amy's got some announcements that she'll share with us, and that we look forward to hearing what's happening in the life of this church in this new year, and there's much going on. Amy.
Thank you, Pastor Tom. I'm standing here next to our beautiful Christmas card display. Thank you for sharing your notes and images with us this season. It has really brightened this time for us. We'll be sharing some close-up images of these cards and letters during our closing song in this morning's worship video. You may remember Dolores Fresh, a longtime community member who's been in a care facility for several years. Dolores passed away a couple weeks ago. We remember her beautiful spirit. Adult education is taking one more week off and will resume next Sunday, the 10th. The class meets on Zoom at 9:30 every Sunday morning. Contact us in the office if you would like to be on that email list. Pastor Eric's midweek Bible study resumes this week. Watch your email for the class invitation. Confirmation students will meet on Zoom at 11 o'clock this morning. Sunday school will meet at the same time next Sunday morning. We want to take a moment to thank you for your continued gifts to Trinity, which help us to reach out and support our neighbors in need, near and far. In 2020, your church gave away $822 every single day. Thank you. Thank you.
It is good this year, as we begin this new year, that we can begin with the sacrament, the bread and the wine, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that unites us and fills our heart again with a renewed hope. So if you have not done so already, I invite you to set your table, set your wine or your juice or whatever is important to you, and bread, and we will share in this meal together. As we gather about this table, we are reminded that in the night in which our Lord was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to all his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, then, after the meal, he took the cup, and he gave it for all to share, saying, This cup is the new covenant poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and we drink of this cup, we share in the mystery of Christ's real presence with us wherever we are gathered, receiving this meal now. Take and eat and drink. It is God's love for you to be received. Let us join our hearts together in the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Take and drink and eat.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. What feast of love is offered here? What banquet come from heaven? What food of everlasting life? What gracious gift is given? This is Christ the King, the bread come down from heaven. Oh, taste and see and sing how sweet the manna given. What light of truth is offered here? What covenant from heaven? What hope of everlasting life? What wondrous word is given? This is Christ the King, the Son come down from heaven. Oh, see and hear and sing, the word of God is given. What wine of love is offered here? What crimson drink from heaven? What stream of everlasting life? What precious blood is given? This is Christ the King, the sweetest wine of heaven. Oh, taste and see and sing, the Son of God is given.
And now may the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the gift of his most precious blood strengthen, keep, and preserve you in life eternal. Amen. Receive the benediction. Now may the Lord God bless you and keep you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit as you travel into this day and the week to come, as you will be a blessing to those in need. Amen. The closing hymn for our worship this morning is "Bright and Glorious is the Sky."
Our sending hymn today is Bright and Glorious is the Sky. As Pastor Tom said, it is a Danish hymn, a Danish Christmas song, with the text by Nikolaj Grundtvig, one of the Danish founders of church music. And I'll sing one verse in Danish, a repeat of verse one, since that is the language that I first learned this song in. Bright and glorious is the sky. Bright and glorious is the sky, radiant are the heavens high, where the golden stars are shining, all their rays to earth inclining, beckon us to heaven above, beckon us to heaven above. Heilig er den Himmel blå, lyste at se der på, hvor det gyldne stjerne blinke, hvor det smile, hvor det vinke, oss fra jorden opp til seg, oss fra jorden opp til seg. Sages from the east afar, when they saw this wondrous star, went to find the King of nations, and to offer their oblations to the child, the newborn King, to the child, the newborn King. Guided by that star they found Him whose praise the ages sound. We to have a star to guide us, which forever will provide us with the light to find our Lord, with the light to find our Lord.
My friends, now go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, Jesus, so holy, meek and mild. New life, new hope, the child will bring. Listen to the angels sing. Glory, 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 let the heavens ring. Jesus, oh Jesus, so holy.